Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to St. Thomas's. We've gathered here today to give thanks for the life of Brian Rattray, to support his family, to encourage one another, to remember him well, and to give thanks to the Lord for his life. Let's begin our worship together by singing our first hymn on the order of service, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Please sit down. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Let's pray together. Lord, we are met here to do honor to Brian, who has died. We're here because in one way or another, this death affects us all. We're here to listen again to some of the great words of the Christian faith, to consider, to remember, and in quiet gratitude to give thanks for Brian's life and for our own continuing lives. We're here to renew our trust in you, who has said, I will not fail you or desert you. Lord, we thank you that you love Brian. We have loved him too, but now we find love painful because he has been taken from us. For the moment, we cannot follow, and that makes us feel helpless and lost. But your love for him is greater and more far-seeing than ours. And so we put our trust in your great and mysterious words. I am the resurrection and the life. Father, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have given us a true faith and a sure hope. Help us to believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to eternal life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We listen to some more words from Scripture, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church, reminding them of the significance of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By the gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, for we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Well, everyone, thank you so much for being here this afternoon and gathering to give thanks for Brian's life. I know that Michelle and Alan and Andrew in particular will be very grateful that so many have come to remember Brian. And we have a brief moment in time to try and sum up Brian's life, to remember him well, to give thanks for all the good that was in him. You will come with your individual memories, as do I this afternoon. But let's bring those memories before God. Let's give thanks, truly, for his life. What defines Brian? How might we define him? Well, I think Brian is someone who's quite difficult to define. There are many, many aspects to him. Perhaps the obvious one is many of us will know him from Christofferson, and we would know how active he was walking around the community with Kira guiding. And it's great that Kira is with us today. It was such a delight on Monday night last week when Michelle said, would it be okay if Kira came to the service? And I kind of just went, yes! Because we've kind of got double bereavement going on, because Kira's as much a member of the church here as Brian was. So it's a delight that Kira is with us. But that does not define Brian. His sister Edith, who is with us, I've spoken to her a couple of times on the phone, and she shared various things about Brian's life when he was a young boy. The playing did not begin until Brian showed up. That kind of helps you understand Brian a little bit. He had a little bit of mischievous fun in him. He had a great sense of humor. He was very sharp. But the fun only began when Brian showed up when he was a boy. Apparently, Cowboys and Indians was his favorite. I don't know if boys and girls play Cowboys and Indians anymore. It's a bit of a shame, I think, that we don't allow to do that. But that was his favorite. An accident at age 11 took away his sight. But of course, that did not define his life. One of the things that I'm constantly learning from Brian was just because he couldn't see, we had to think carefully about how things were done. So if we asked him to do something in church, we had to make sure we supplied him with the script in advance so that he could braille it up, he could prepare it. It was a terrific thing. The week before he ended up in hospital, we asked him to speak at the carol service, to read at the carol service. And it was kind of education to have Brian in the congregation. But that aspect of his life did not define him. He was a very intelligent man. He could have done law, but law, it's not that the subject itself was complex. I'd like to think that actually the problem was that law couldn't cope with him. The subject textbooks being so voluminous, translating them into Braille to help him learn was going to be such a difficult task. So instead, he did an arts degree in history at Edinburgh University and achieved that. And he had the mind for that. He was a clever man. He was a fascinating man to sit down and have a conversation with about history, about Scotland, more about Scotland in a minute. He was an interesting man to be around. He was also a man who was wise and was someone to take counsel from. He married Euphemia, or Faye, as she was better known. Brian described her as beautiful. And we were talking about that, how he worked that one out. There must have been a lot of touching and feeling and so on, but she was a beautiful person to him, and he said that to me as well. And Faye and Brian had their lovely daughter, Michelle, married to Alan. And I know how much he loved them and Andrew, his grandson. He worked in the bank. And I know that Stuart, is Stuart here? Just put your hand up if you're here somewhere. He worked in the bank with him. Hi, Stuart. Stuart apparently didn't realize Brian was blind until he started working with him in the bank and kind of realized that. That's the kind of nature of how Brian was. He just got on with life and made the most of it. His disability did not define him. He had a great love for Scotland and his people. When I first met him, I came for an interview here in 2014 and quickly sussed out that Brian was a member of the Scottish National Party. I think his membership of the Scottish National Party might have helped me get the job here. So I'm grateful for that, but we had great chats about nationalism. We were at that point in the midst of the referendum, and he felt quite strongly about the direction of travel. You might not agree with him on that. I feel sorry for you in that respect. But he will be watching us today to see how we react to all these things. But he loved Scotland. He loved Scottish people. He was an active member of the Scottish National Party. You might have seen one of the slides that came up. Was from way back when he was a younger man in his mid-30s, reporting on his activism in the Scottish National Party and attending Scottish National Party gatherings. That was an important aspect of his life. He was also a very, very active member of Carstorphine Community Council. And he would frequently send me emails from the community council detailing the latest road closures in Carstorphine, which is a big thing in Carstorphine. It's constantly happening. The roads are getting shut off. It's important that we know which roads are shut down. He was a great source of information, but also trying to input into the life of the community. That was important to him, and he tried to make sure that other people were aware of it. So he was an amazing man, and in all sorts of aspects of his life. But one of the things that is most important, was most important to him and was very important to us here in St. Thomas's, is that he was a man of great faith. He was wise, and he could be challenging in what he said. He would listen to conversations, and then when he threw in a comment, so often there was something that needed to be heard by whatever group he was on. He was a member of the vestry here. The vestry is the group that leads the church. And he would come to meetings. And this is where Kira comes back into the picture as well, because Kira was a member of the vestry as well, unelected, ex-officio member of the vestry. And so Brian and Kira would sit in meetings, and Kira would try and sidle up to the nearest person and lay her head on people's feet, and she'd do that thing of crossing her legs in front of her and just make sure that she was relaxed. And Brian, of course, was largely oblivious to all the petting that went on of Kira. She would act as a therapist during the tense vestry meetings that take place. Actually, none of the vestry meetings are ever tense, but she was a great therapist to have with us. He was a lifelong Episcopalian. He was committed to the ancient ways of the Christian faith, but was nothing but encouraging in terms of keeping up to date with how we communicate it. He could make you laugh with his sharp sense of humor, and he could make you weep with his words. He loved Jesus. He loved Jesus, and he longed for others to know him and to be known by him. When I visited him at home, he would have an opportunity to chat, and he would talk about that. Actually, it was always very interesting to visit him home. I remember the first time I visited him in his home round the corner. And Kira, who's always well-behaved, if you can see her now, she's just sitting there. But if you visited her at home, if you visited Brian at home, Kira went nuts, because you were coming to visit, not Brian, you were coming to visit Kira. And she would run around, she'd pick up her toys, and you'd have to play with her whilst trying to have a really serious conversation with Brian. And Brian's concern was that others would know Jesus, that everything we do as a church is trying to point people towards Jesus Christ. And so it's a sad day today as we gather. It was quite sudden, his being taken from us. When I got the phone call from Michelle on the 27th of December, it was a real blow. To me personally, and to all of us who are members here, as well as to the family, we felt it acutely. I'd talked to him. He usually sat over here, and I talked to him on Christmas Eve at our morning service. And he said to me, "Dave, I'm not going to come to church tonight, to the Christmas Eve service. I'm not going to come on Christmas Day. I'm not feeling very well." It was this flu, this cold that's going around. I've got it right now, as you probably picked up. And I'm so sad that that was my last conversation, just hearing about how unwell he was feeling. But it was such a blow to hear that he had passed away. And yet, we who follow Jesus Christ, as that reading from 1 Corinthians reminds us, those who follow, who trust in Christ, this is not the end. The Apostle Paul writes about the resurrection of Christ. Because Jesus has been resurrected, because Jesus has defeated sin and death, we too can know that resurrection life. And so we trust, we know that Brian is in the resurrection life with Christ now. He loved Jesus and longed for others to know him. Eugene Peterson, that great theologian and writer who did an interpretation of the Bible, a paraphrase of the Bible called The Message, describes an aspect of faith. He calls it a long obedience in the same direction. Going in the same direction for a long period of time. Brian had followed Jesus Christ for a long, long time. And now he is with him. And he sees more clearly now than he's ever seen before. On the 19th of December, Brian sent to me a piece that he had written. And he asked, in his usual way, he didn't ask that it should be put in our church notice sheet. He didn't ask for much. He just said, would you mind if this was put up on our notice board outside? So we said, yes, of course, Brian, put it up. And didn't think much more of it. But it was only after his passing that I kind of thought, wow, this what he's written is almost like an epitaph. It talks about his faith. It talks about how we need to turn to Christ. And so I thought it would be appropriate today to end our time, my time in speaking about Brian and pointing to his faith by sharing this with you. And so he wrote this piece and sent it to us on the 19th of December, less than 10 days before he passed away. And it's entitled Disturbed Comfort. So let me read this for you. As I stand here at the cross's foot and gaze on pain that should be mine, do I feel the love that Christ forsook, incalculable sums? With your forgiveness, conscience's time, redemption comes. But did I need to be redeemed? I never asked nor thought to need. In kindest acts my life I schemed with good in store. I'm content with life and deed. Can God want more? But Lord, you are right. The image is wrong. Created to hide a soul so shallow. To show me as the good and strong. A shining light. Example for the young to follow. A life so trite. So Lord, I kneel to seek your face. Forgive the wickedness I've hid. My motives were a true disgrace, a child of darkness. Your sacrifice was made to rid us men of blindness. With eyes now open, Lord, I see. To be like you, I need to serve. Seek good for others and set them free from care and pain. Bear them myself and never swerve from furthering your reign. We give thanks to the Lord for Brian's life and love and ministry. Let us pray. And so we pray for one another. And we ask for God's help in this time of loss. Almighty God, Father of all mercies and giver of all comfort, deal graciously, we pray, with those who mourn. We pray especially for Michelle and Alan and Andrew and Edith. Help them to cast all their care on you, that they may know the consolation of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray that we may not be overwhelmed or embittered by Brian's passing or the manner of its coming, that it may not cause us to think less of life but more, that it may not turn us in on ourselves in self-pity, but will make us more eager to comfort others in any sorrow of theirs. We pray for all who feel they cannot live with their sorrow, that they may find your comfort in a fellow human being, We pray for all who are dying and are not helped, and for all who have died and are not mourned. As we honor our brother Brian, we commit ourselves for his name's sake to live for each other and to make life not only bearable, but joyful and triumphant for all who struggle and are afraid. Lord, give us all we need for rejoicing, all we need for hope and peace. Be with us here and everywhere. Be present for us now and always. Fulfiller of our past, strength of our present, and promise of our future. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In a moment, we're going to sing our second hymn on your order of service. Two things to say by way of notices. One is there will be a retiring offering, which will be going to guide dogs for the blind, which is important for obvious reasons, so please give generously on your way out. We're then going to make our way to the crematorium for a very short ceremony there of committal of Brian, and then we're going to return. Those who are able, please do join the family at the Capitol Hotel after that. So please do come to that part of the day if you're able to join us. If you're unable to join us, please just receive our thanks, our gratitude for being here today and supporting Brian's family and remembering him well. Let's stand together. We're going to sing the second hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth. Let's pray together. Go forth upon thy journey from this world, O Christian soul, in the peace of him in whom thou hast believed, in the name of God the Father who created thee, in the name of Jesus Christ who suffered for thee, in the name of the Holy Spirit who strengthened thee. May angels and archangels and all the armies of the heavenly host come to meet thee. May all the saints of God welcome thee. May thy portion this day be in gladness and peace, and thy dwelling in paradise. Go forth upon thy journey, O Christian soul, and let us go on our way in the strength of God. He is with us and goes before us, our confidence, our courage, and our hope, now and forever. Amen.